Wagoner, Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia. February 12, 1899. Dear Brother Wagoner, W.C. White, Brother Daniels, and myself had some conversation in regard to you and your family coming to this country. We were all of one mind that we need you here to teach the Bible in our school. Elder Haskell cannot endure confinement to one place. He needs to be moved about. And we know that the church needs him in this country. When he attends camp meetings, he has been held after the meeting to take the lead in binding off the work. He cannot leave Brisbane until the meeting house is built. The rainy season is soon to come, and there is need of a house of worship as soon as it is possible to build it. It is already begun. Then Elder Haskell should labor sometime in Victoria, in Tasmania, and in Adelaide, South Australia. It is not wise to bind down a man who has always been on the move. We want Elder Haskell and his wife to be happy. We ask you to come to this country as soon as you feel that it is time to come. We wish you were here this moment, but the Lord understands our situation, and He will do large things for us in this country if we will not become selfish and betray our sacred, holy trust. We must be true to principle. God requires now, just now, that His people divest themselves of all selfishness, all covetousness, and all impurity. Come unto me, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Matthew 11, verse 28-29. We are to become the scholars of Jesus Christ. He says, "Yield heart, mind, soul, and strength to my training. Submit in all things to my will. Let your whole life be one with my life. Then not only will I assure you, but I will give, and ye shall find rest to your souls." Never was there a time when there was more need for us to be the light of the world than at this time. Never did Christ require as much of His disciples as He now requires of the believers in Battle Creek. There has been marked disobedience, marked betrayal of their sacred trust. It is no common experience that will place them on vantage ground, nothing less than that faith that works by love and purifies the soul. It is no small sin that has been committed, that has separated God from His institutions, and there is now a work to be done that has not been done, a work which will give evidence that a true, sincere reformation has taken place. There is to be far more zeal and repentance that will evidence that the signature of heaven is again upon His institutions, that God presides over His work. There is need of that repentance that needeth not to be repented of. The deepest humility and heart-searching needs to be manifested. The soul needs to humble itself before God, that He may lift up the repentant one. There has been far more vindication of self than true repentance, because the erring ones have not a proper sense that they have grieved the Spirit of God, and put Him, their Redeemer, who gave His life for them, to open shame before His enemies. It is not a small matter for any soul to place himself in such a position that God cannot instruct him and make him a channel of light. Please read Isaiah 57, verse 13 to 15. A much more thorough work needs to be done than has yet been done to prepare the way of the Lord, that justice and judgment and restoration shall be faithfully done as God has said. When this is done, God will cooperate with man. But sin unrepented of, sin unconfessed, can never be blotted from the book of God's record. Faithful, thorough confession of sin cleanses the heart from its moral impurity. There must be a forsaking of the sins God has reproved before the soul can stand acquitted before God, humbled and repentant, realizing that he has served Satan, pleased him, glorified him, and dishonored his Lord. This work of repentance has not been done. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. There are sins unconfessed, sins unrepented of, sins unforgiven. We need to confess our faults one to another, praying one for another, that they may be forgiven and healed. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, verse 7-9. Those who have not made straight paths for their feet have taken great pains to justify themselves. In every case, their sin remains. There will be no decided victory for them until there is repentance and confession. Then will come forgiveness and cleansing from all transgression and iniquity. I see that many will walk in darkness until it is too late for wrongs to be righted. They will not fall on the rock and be broken, but will come into the marriage supper of the Lamb without having on the wedding garment, which every soul must have who would have a part with Christ. Christ does not give rest apart from himself. If we want Christ abiding in the soul, the wrongs that have grieved him and put him to open shame before his enemies must be repented of and confessed, and then Christ will forgive freely. God help the erring, now in this their day, to make thorough work for repentance, that they may receive the Holy Ghost. In much love.